Okay, heading over now to the UK, to London, and speaking to film critic Richard Fitzwilliams. Good afternoon, Richard. How are you?
Oh, very well. I've just had a most enjoyable and interesting visit to Paris.
Yes, tell us more. What's caught your attention over there then lately?
Well, I went to the big exhibitions, and at the Louvre there is a magnificent exhibition of Delacroix. He was a 19th century painter who managed very, very successfully to circumnavigate the political upheavals of that period. He died in 1863, and he's well known for the famous revolutionary painting Liberty Leading the People, but also there are a variety of amazing works on show. One was the Massacres of Sears. This was a huge battle painting, which is very, very powerful. And then also, I had no idea he did flower paintings and landscapes, and there's some rather good ones there. But he's very well known for his hunting scenes and ferocious scenes of lions and tigers attacking mounted tribesmen. I mean, there's some amazing work here.
It's, I assume that I was going to ask you whether he went beyond the kind of the political and war type paintings, and he seems to cover quite a spectrum there.
I was amazed by what he did. I mean, it had to be done with some care because, you know, there was his family were ruined after, because they were prominent in the Napoleonic army. And subsequent to that, he sought glory, and he certainly loved spectacle, and my goodness me, he delivered it. And what I've known his work for years, and he's beloved by the French, apparently, but these extraordinary animal paintings and vast battle sequences, and of course his revolutionary paintings, I mean, an amazing exhibition. I really do recommend it. I mean, the Louvre, of course, is so full of tourists who can hardly move, but that, and also an exhibition about Guernica at the Picasso Museum, which I very much enjoyed.
Okay, well, you must come down to Malaga and see the Picasso Museum in Malaga. So I think you'll enjoy that as well. Let's move on to some more culture then, and we're talking about the movies, starting off with McQueen today. McQueen.
Yes, he was. Alexander McQueen was one of the most extraordinary fashion designers ever. I mean, this documentary fascinates, it provokes, it repels, and it thrills. I used to cover London Fashion Week 20 years ago, and I always wanted to get into his shows, but I failed because I edited International Who's Who, and that was an establishment tome, and he had no use for it. But here, it's a documentary, and co-directors Ian Bonhotte and Peter Etegwe have used interviews with his family, his lovers, his associates, and his models, as well as substantial footage of McQueen himself, and it chronicles the meteoric rise from humble East End roots to be one of the iconic figures in the British cultural renaissance, which began in the 1990s.
So it's quite a rise, isn't it, to stardom, a rags-to-riches story, I should imagine. Is that how it
totally
feels?
Totally so, totally so, but the trouble was that the pressures. Can just imagine an Englishman who began as the ultimate iconoclast, epitomized by his so-called bumpsters and by the sheer audaciousness of his shows, becoming creative director of both Givenchy and then Gucci.
It's quite amazing, isn't it? And the influence he's had on the fashion world.
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, firstly, the actual theatre. His fashion shows, I mean, they were extraordinary. There was one where apparently he intended lighted torches to be around the stage. The stage actually caught fire, and he refused to help put the fire out and encouraged it to burn more. It spread to cars outside. He loved the unusual. There was another where a supermodel was assaulted by two robots spraying paint at her, and then there was the catwalk, which metamorphosed into a giant image of Bedlam, and his piece de resistance was a huge glass cage in the middle of the catwalk. The bemused fashionistas could then look and see themselves. After an hour, they crashed down, and there was a naked model beneath with butterflies released. It was quite extraordinary. To put it mildly, this was a person like no other, but there's also no question that you have in this film as a motif, the human skull. It's a reminder of mortality, and he used the skull very frequently. But on the skull, we see gilded butterflies move in and out, and there is this aspect that he was dealing with a world that was superficially absolutely gorgeous, and he loved the eccentricity of it and the creativity of it, and yet, of course, it took such a heavy toll because he took his own life when young, as did his wonderfully eccentric and enchanting muse, Isabella Blow, whom I knew.
And we're talking about that on the week when we have the sad news of fashion designer Kate Spade, who took her own life as well. It seems to be something that happens all too often, really.
Very, very tragically, yes, indeed. I mean, the exhibition based on McQueen's work was entitled Savage Beauty, and this was really, and we see this in this documentary, it's a wonderful documentary. It's a combination of brilliance and perversity, and it led, unfortunately, its pressures and his extraordinary mix of, as I say, he could create the most dazzling sights, and yet, personally, when his mother died, he couldn't cope, and that had followed on the suicide of Isabella Blow.
Okay, well, there seems to be very popular, these documentary films. You know, I think we're looking at another Whitney Houston one possibly soon. They're very popular at the moment, aren't they? And they tend to lend themselves well to streaming sites, and lots of people can consume, and I'm sure lots will enjoy. So what's your rating on this, Richard?
Oh, this has to be 5 stars, because it really is. It's a remarkable film about an absolutely unique individual who really enriched fashion. And indeed, he's so famous that both in America and in Britain, the Savage Beauty, an exhibition of his work, and also his shows, these amazing experiences, it broke records at the Victoria and Albert Museum here, it did.
Mm. Okay, well, we'll look out for that one then. And what's the second film we're looking at today?
The second is called Jeune Femme, and I have to say that it's really the French equivalent of Francis Ha, which is a delightful satirical movie starring Greta Gerwig. It's a movie that was in certain regard at Cannes, where it won a prize. It won the Camera d'Or for direction. Leonore Serrail directs this. And it's a story, I mentioned Greta Gerwig because she's so good, I think, don't you, playing failures, people who drift in and out of life.
Absolutely, and it's very well shot as well. It's got a lovely kind of the colours to it. It's kind of very atmospheric in certain situations. The scenes tend to kind of picture what's really going on in a person's life as well. And I think it's been really well directed.
What is extraordinary is whereas the Greta Gerwig movies give you wonderful insights into America, and it's also the New York most particularly. Here, Jeune Femme is set in Paris, so of course I've just been to it. In a sense, the sights and sounds of Paris are an integral part of this. It's a form of a love letter to the city, but the central character, Paula, played by Laetitia Doche, she is infuriating, she is difficult, she is rude sometimes, she's on the verge of turning 30, she's returned to Paris when a relationship has broken up. We meet her originally where she's deeply troubled and trying to re-enter her ex-partner's home. He won't let her in. And then she's also turned her mother into an enemy, and she works in a cafe where she becomes friends with the manager, Osman, a good performance by Suleiman Sayindai, and also what of her relationship with her ex-partner, and how does that, considering her difficulties, considering that she hasn't really a proper job, or indeed she doesn't really know what she wants. These movies are quite interesting because it's very odd how somebody who's an abrasive character and got all sorts of characteristics that you wouldn't like, nonetheless, because of the skill of the way they're played, can in fact, you're on her side, you sympathize, you empathize, and you're just hoping that with all these situations that go wrong, you're hoping that things will work out. I was very enchanted by this movie. She has a vulnerability, and Letitia Dashi is an excellent performer. There's also a good performance by Grégoire Montsengui as Joachim, who's her partner. There are some surprises there in the way he becomes, as when we actually get to know him. It's one of these strange movies which is, I thought, rather delightful in its very unusual way. Those who drift through life and who appear to be failures, will they in fact actually succeed? What are the chances?
From watching some of the French films that you brought to us over the last few months, it appears to me that the French are very good at generally at doing character-based films, and far more than Hollywood. You really enter the character's psyche, and I think that's what you get in this.
I totally agree, and I think that this is such an important point, because the problem with Hollywood, and we found this last week with The Book Club, a movie like that, but for that you could, there are thousands of others, they are so, or very often, they are very contrived. You know that it's a script written by a script writer or several script writers. You also know that the big star, it's being done on the level of big box office, because the intention is, why not, to make money. But nonetheless, very often it has that superficial feel which is fatal, where you compare with a French film so often, not invariably, and of course there are exceptions, many exceptions to this, but the French do have the ability. They draw you in. They, over fairly simple scenes, such as, for example, during meals, or movies that in fact actually make you believe that you're watching real people and the way they handle certain situations. Of course, there are the French masters, Chabrol, Cole, Godard, still with us, Truffaut. Rather interesting, the Chabrol movie, the way he dissect the middle class by just showing the exterior, and you could guess very often what they were actually thinking, which could be absolutely murderous. Yeah, the French movies are so different from those of Hollywood. Of course, Hollywood has the budgets, and Hollywood also, unquestionably, its movies appeal in different ways. But there is, as you say, something very special about French films that lead me to review them and give them a plug whenever I can.
Absolutely. Okay, so ratings out of 5 for that, Richard, please.
I'm going to 4 because I did enjoy it and I thought it was extremely well acted too.
Yeah, and next week, what can we expect?
Next week we catch up with, firstly, the Jurassic World, the Fallen Kingdom, of course, and secondly, Rupert Everett as Oscar Wilde in The Happy Prince.
Okay, something different again. Thank you, Richard. If anybody wants to find you online, how can they do that?
It's www.richardfitzwilliams.com and Twitter at @rfitzwilliams.
Richard, have a great weekend. We'll speak soon. You take care.
And you.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks.